Last year, the star Cindy Hodel made a big decision in her life. She moved from the city, and I'm talking about the Kansas City area, to the Flint Hills of Kansas. Specifically, she moved to Matfield Green, not too far off of I-35 as you make your way down to Wichita. She bought a house that needed a new water heater, and off she went. It was a big change and a change she appears to have embraced based on the photographs and stories that she shares on her Facebook page. Each Sunday, Hodel's conversations with some of the more intriguing people around the metro can be found in Star Magazine. Cindy Hodel joins me now, and so good to have you.
Hi, Steve. It's fun to be here.
Yeah. Well, you've moved to the Flint Hills, but you look the same. Here you are.
I was hoping you would say I look so much more relaxed.
You look so much more relaxed. Are you more relaxed?
I'm so much more relaxed.
It's a big change.
It's a huge and wonderful change.
It's wonderful. Why?
There's something very peaceful about living out there. And it's a really nice counterbalance to my life in Kansas City, a life you're very familiar with, the go-go journalism life.
And the newsroom of the Kansas City Star you're talking about. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's something wonderful about silence and about true darkness that I never experienced before.
And it sounds like you've embraced it. You've been there for a number of months and you're still into it.
I love it. Some of the people that encouraged me to move down there, friends that I met who live down there, they said, oh, you're going to love it. You should do this. And I bought this house in November, moved down in April. And then a couple of months later, some of them started calling me saying, you don't regret it, do you? And no. I just laughed. I said, no, I don't. But why did you try to talk me into this if you thought that I might?
Why did you go? I mean, what brought you to that point in your life?
I love to fly. I love to travel. But I've never understood the Southwest Airlines ads, want to get away. I've never felt like that. I've always felt like I'm going to someplace. Mm. And I just wanted, that was a place where I reported a couple of stories out of it. And
the readers, Flint Hills.
The Flint Hills, mm-hmm. Yeah. Readers loved the stories. I loved being in that place. And I felt like that was just something I wanted to pursue. And I've never been a person who has goals or who has a plan. And I much more believe in paying attention to what makes you happy. And I felt really happy there, and I didn't question it.
You know, one of those stories you wrote was on Carol Brown, who is one of our 90 Mile View participants here on Up to Date. She comes in periodically to talk about her life down there. I mean, what, as you would go through there before you moved, what was it that grabbed you? I mean, what was it that you thought, I've got to make this part of my life?
I think it was the power of the natural beauty there. I grew up as a Navy kid. I was a beach kid. You know, we always moved back and forth between what I call the cold ocean and the warm ocean, the West Coast and the East Coast.
Which one was the cold one?
The Pacific.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never thought about it that way.
California is prettier, but the water's really cold. And mm-hmm. Florida is a little flatter and not as scenic, but the water is so beautifully warm. Anyway, I always thought kind of that's where I would end up, and that's where I like to go on vacation. I've never been a camper, so I haven't experienced nature probably the way most people my age have mm-hmm. because I don't like to camp. And so now I've found this situation where I have this beautiful house, and so it's like camping, but I can sleep in my own bed.
That's a good way to put it. How did you find the house?
Some friends led me to the house. I met a woman when I was doing a story about planning the symphony in the Flint Hills. She had a home in that town, and it was completely charming, a little cottage.
In Matfield Green.
In Matfield Green. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. I loved her little house. And I asked her if she would ever sell her house, and she said no. She said, but there's a lot of houses here that are falling down that need rescuing. And I said, well, I don't know about that. And one day I was out there and she drove me by this house and said, this is the house that Elaine and I think you should live in. Elaine is another friend who has, she lives in Maine half the year mm-hmm. and she lives in Matfield Green the other half of the year. And I just laughed because here was this 1 acre lot. It was completely overgrown with trees. It was dark. There were all these buildings I wouldn't know what to do with. There was a stable. There was a gigantic metal kind of a shed. There was a detached garage, but there was this gazebo that I loved. And
was it still in good shape?
No. But
Not really.
It's watertight, yeah. And I have a propane heater, and it heats up really fast. There's no air
conditioning. The house itself you're talking about. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to the gazebo. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, the gazebo is in perfect shape. That's the best feature of the whole property.
You bought the house at auction?
I did, and that was exciting and
what happened
scary.
There? Yeah.
I had been looking at this house, but when my friends showed it to me, they said it's not for sale yet. The gentleman whose father had lived in the house was not ready to part with it for emotional reasons. People down there kind of hang on to property. They have a different relationship to property than we do in the city. And his father had passed away 7 years earlier, and he couldn't bring himself to sell the house. And then it happened very suddenly when he did. I got a telephone call, and they said, Ronnie is putting his dad's house up for auction next month. And so I had about 28 days to get the money together and get a plan together. And I just decided instantly when I got the phone call, I'm going to buy the house.
How did you know, like, how much you'd be willing to spend? How were you able to appraise it? How did you handle all those logistics?
Very unprofessionally. And
very emotionally, all the things you're not supposed to do here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just decided it would be really smart, no matter how much it cost, because I kind of was familiar with what things cost down there. And even at the highest price that it might go for, it would be incredibly inexpensive compared to prices in Kansas City. And at the time, I was living in a condo on the plaza and paying a very high rent and had nothing to show for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, this is going to be a smart thing to do no matter how much it costs.
So you did it.
Yeah, I did it.
I don't need numbers here, but you got a good deal on it? Did you feel good?
I paid less for this property with this house and four outbuildings than most people pay for a new car.
No kidding.
Yeah. And it's a fantastic feeling. You know, Wendell Berry, who I'm a fan of his writings, he has always said that one of the greatest freedoms is the freedom from having to earn an income.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I've kind of maneuvered myself into that situation, which is really nice. I love my work, and I make a salary at the Star that I'm happy with. But it's a really empowering feeling to know that if that went away, I could still pay my propane bill and my telephone bill.
And just live your life right down there.
Yeah.
Well, describe, I mean, are you close to, you have neighbors, or are you sort of off on your own? How is it?
Matfield Green has, we call it exit four. There's four exits. If you come down 177, which is a national scenic byway, the only one in Kansas, that goes straight through the town of Matfield Green.
I just went through it last summer when I visited Carroll. You can go through it like in 30 seconds too, right? This is not this is not like going through Sedalia or something where it takes forever. You go through it real quick.
Oh, yeah. And somebody, one of the people that moved there from Wichita put up a sign kind of as a joke at the north end of town. It says Matfield Green, next four exits. But you better be looking, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm on the last road to the south. So I'm on the edge of town. Legally, I'm not in town. I'm in the township because where my house is now, it was originally part of a horse pasture that still is my view to the south.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a farm and it wasn't incorporated when they incorporated the town. So me and my neighbor on that same street were technically in the township, and then the town starts across the street. But I have an across the street neighbor who was the son of the gentleman that owned my house, Delbert. My house will always be Delbert's house. I still tell people I live in Delbert Armstrong's house, and that tells them everything they need to know.
They know exactly what that is.
When I opened an account, you know, at the bank and went into the hardware store, and they say, "Where do you live?" It's Delbert Armstrong's house in Matfield.
How many people live in Matfield Green?
The 2010 census said 49.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's gone up by a couple since then. This nice couple with two kids moved in.
Because you know them all now, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So one woman moved away and then a family of four moved in. So that should be like a plus three gain. I didn't count since I'm in the township. But I think if you add in the people that are in the Matfield Green listing in the phone book, we have a page and a half. And I'm in there. And I think that gets you up to maybe about 70 people.
Oh, that's great. I just find all this so interesting, just the whole notion of sort of going there. I'm just sort of, as I mentioned, I'm sort of envious of your courage to do it and what your life is like there. Let's do this, Denise. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about things like loneliness and cable TV and the internet, people will be wondering about that, just how isolated you are and some of the critters down there that you live with and alongside and all of that too, okay?
Sure.
When we come back, we'll continue our good conversation here with Cindy Hodel from the Kansas City Star. In the meantime, I'm Steve Kraske from the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. And welcome back. I'm Steve Kraske. We're just a breaking news this hour in the Maryville rape case. Just to repeat what we said just a few minutes ago, 41 Action News has reported KCUR News has confirmed that no sexual assault charges will be filed in the case. Misdemeanor charges will be filed. KCUR will be covering this story throughout the day, especially following a 1:30 hearing this afternoon in court up in Maryville. Stay tuned for KCUR News for more information about this case that will have national ramifications and who knows about the chilling effect this will have on young women and older women, for that matter, across the country in the wake of this story. So lots of things to talk about here in connection with this Maryville rape case. If you missed yesterday's humorous look at marriage or our conversation about Andrew Jackson at the Battle of New Orleans, you can find those at kcur.org. Tomorrow on the program, our indie foreign and documentary film critics join us to discuss what's showing on area screens. Well, this hour, we're visiting now with Cindy Hodel from the Kansas City Star about her big decision to move from the city of Kansas City down to the Flint Hills, down to Matfield Green. And just to clarify, so you're saying that even after a few months, you're still happy with the decision. You're not down there thinking, oh my gosh, what on earth have I done?
Not at all. I'm so happy, but what on earth have I done is not something that would come into my mind anyway.
Because
I've always been a person who feels like I can adjust my course. And when people were forcing me before I moved down there, after I bought the house, to say, what will you do if everything falls apart? I couldn't imagine anything falling apart. But because I had to give them an answer, my answer was, I'll move to the Florida Keys, because that was another place that I've always loved and had thought about moving to.
But the Keys are about to go underwater if you read the stories about the Florida Keys, global warming and all of that, you know.
Yeah, I don't think they will. But and you, it's funny, before the break you mentioned courage, and I hear that a lot, and I feel like I have to correct people when they say that, because what's courage, and is it courage if you're not overcoming fear? There just isn't any fear to begin with.
Because you knew you were doing the right thing.
Because I was just sure that it would work out.
Tell me a little bit about, you know, people will be wondering about things like cable TV and the internet and sort of being so isolated that you lose touch, and that would be unsettling for so many folks in this day and age. What about all that stuff?
We have high-speed internet. My internet works better than it did on the plaza.
Get out of here.
And really, I don't have a television, but I didn't have television on the plaza either, so that's more of a personal choice than having to do without something.
But is cable TV available down there?
It is. I don't have it. And I have to say, and I'm not proud of this, I'm sort of a cable TV cheater. My neighbor across the street, Ronnie Armstrong, Delbert's son, he has all the channels. And I'm a huge KU basketball fan. And whenever the Jayhawks are playing, I go across the street and I watch the basketball games with Ronnie.
Yeah. What about grocery stores?
It's 15 minutes away to the closest town is Cottonwood Falls and Strong City. They're two little twin cities right next to each other. And there's a Dollar General in Cottonwood Falls, which I learned humorously and a little bit sadly, if you're a real cook, people there call the grocery store. People were talking about going to the grocery store. And I thought they meant the one in Strong City, which is a real grocery with a meat counter. And sometimes they meant the Dollar General. But I use both of them.
Well, people, you know, 15 minutes away, is that too much of a hassle or is it not really a hassle?
My sister used to live at Lake Quivira, and I think it took her longer to get to the grocery store, you know, and it's a beautiful drive on a national scenic highway from my house to the grocery store.
Yeah, so, I know it, yeah.
And there's no traffic lights in the entire county.
Not a single one.
Not a single one in Chase County.
What, do you get lonely when you're down there?
No. I have more of a sense of community in that little town than I had in Kansas City, because One friend, a neighbor, jokes around when friends from the city ask him, what on earth do you do down there? He says, we feed each other.
Meaning?
And we have dinners. And my gazebo is the new bar. There used to be a little bar at the end of the street called the Hitching Post. And that closed down very sadly right before I moved down there.
I know where that is. Someone pointed it out to me when I was down there the last time. Yeah,
yeah, we're working on getting it open again. But it's closed for now. And so my gazebo just kind of became the gathering spot, which was really cool because the old guy who used to live in my house, Delbert, he was a guitar player. And he used to play his guitar on his gazebo. And when people would hear him play his guitar, they would wander over.
Mm-hmm. So people get together and chat, and that's sort of how often, like once a week or a couple times a week? Or
more, probably in the summertime when the weather's nice, two or three times a week.
Yeah, yeah. Critters.
I've learned so much about animals, yes. Steve. I'm such a city person, and I just found out last week that a prairie dog is not a coyote. I saw a coyote for the first time in my life right after I moved in there. I thought a coyote would look like a wolf, but it looks like a dog.
Yeah, it's a small. We have some in our neighborhood, actually. Your old neighborhood, my neighborhood. Yeah, we have some.
Oh, I never saw one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I would hear people talking about prairie dogs, and so a coyote looks like a dog. So I thought a prairie dog was a coyote, and I just found out that that's not the case. We have possums. There was a possum that was living underneath the gazebo for a while last summer, and I talked to one of the local kids about maybe trapping it for me, and then someone else said it might have been Carol Brown. They don't bother anything, you know. They're just ugly.
And they sort of just move around, too. They'll stay in one place for a while and then hitchhike down the road somewhere else, I guess.
I've got barn cats. There's feral cats that live in the shed, and I feed them because they keep the rats and the mice down. And they don't mind the possum. The possum comes out to eat sometimes with the cats.
They get along pretty well, too.
They get along.
Well, I'm looking for a downside here. I'm not finding one, Cindy.
A downside. I don't have any air conditioning, but if that bothered me, I would get it. And I've had neighbors offer me window air conditioning units. A couple of window air conditioning units apparently get passed around. You know, there's a real communal spirit in Matfield, you know. And I just haven't gotten one yet because I enjoy hot weather. But that's not a trying to prove anything thing. You know, if I didn't enjoy the heat, I would get an air conditioner.
Our guest is Cindy Hodel. We're talking about her decision to move to Matfield Green down in the Flint Hills a few months ago. If that thought has maybe occurred to you from time to time and you have questions about what this might entail, 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888. Or you can email us to uptodate@kcur.org or tweet us at KCUR up to date. Now, I understand you've acquired some new skills, working cattle and harvesting chickens. Tell me about it.
It's been one of the greatest gifts of this whole adventure. It makes me feel very young to be in a situation where I'm learning so many things. And of course, in our profession, it's been wonderful and energizing for my journalism as well. You know, you spend enough time in the city and you feel like you've written every story and you've met every source. And so, I was invited to help a female rancher work cattle on an all-female crew. And I was really nervous about it, but I always just say yes and I don't think about it, you know. And I had worked cattle out in western Kansas where I have an uncle a long, long time ago, and that was a very different kind of situation. It was not a pleasant memory, and it was wonderful to see how these women do it now. It was a much more humane way, you know, like with the branding. They don't do hot branding. They do cold branding. And the castrating, it's done with like a rubber banding kind of a thing instead of a knife. And the cattle
Either way, though, Cindy, let me just tell you.
It's harder for men
really
to get
it. Doesn't really matter, but go ahead and say what you will. Yeah. Yeah.
The cattle, they never bawled. You know, they didn't make any noise. And when you let them back out of the chute, they didn't collapse. You know, they just kind of walked out and, you know, went and, you know, got hooked back up with their mothers, and it was nice. It was a very pleasant day, and it was great to see women doing this work, because I've always enjoyed hard work and physical work. That's another thing that's very satisfying, living out there. And to see that women can not only do the bread baking and the gardening, but they can work cattle and they can harvest chickens.
And tell me, you harvest chickens now.
Yeah.
Which means what exactly?
A friend of mine, I've been thinking about raising chickens just for the eggs, but I haven't taken that step yet. But a friend up the road raises chickens for meat as well. And so one day it was harvest day, just like in the old time. And you gather a group of friends and you kill all the chickens and you pluck them and you dip them into the hot water and then you bag them up. And then the people who helped get to take a few chickens home. And I was I just said yes. I didn't ask any questions. And I was really worried, what am I going to do if Bill, my friend, puts the hatchet in my hand?
And did he?
And no, he didn't. And I will be forever grateful. I would have done it, though, because I feel like I eat chicken and I ought to be able to kill a chicken if I'm willing to eat a chicken.
Is that, I mean, I don't want to get into the gory details, but is that hard to do, to do what you have to do to a chicken to end its life and move
well,
on?
Well, not for Bill. You know, I think if the axe is sharp and if you know what you're doing and you have a respect for the animal and, you know, they were running around free and having a very pleasant life until the last few seconds of their existence and one quick, clean, you know, blow and it was fine.
Living in the Flint Hills is our topic. Cindy Hodel from The Star is our guest. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Lots of questions for Cindy. Let's go to some of them now. Tom from Kansas City, Missouri. Tom, good morning.
Good morning. I was actually out in Metfield Green with my family earlier last year in about August, and I think we stayed at Elaine's house when she was in Maine. And one of the things that I noticed when I was walking around town was that there's a brick building kind of in the middle of all the houses, and it's surrounded by goats. And I was wondering if you could tell me about what the deal is with that building, because it doesn't look like a goat farm. You know, it looks like a library or a school or something. And just maybe if you could tell me about the guy who raises the goats, because my family and I had a really great time walking around and seeing all the goats and all. And I'll start listening to the radio and take me in.
Yeah, Tom, thanks. Thank it's the mystery of the brick building. What is it, Cindy?
Tom, thank you very much for asking me that question. It's one of my favorite buildings and one of my favorite people in Matfield Green. There's a wonderful man named George who bought the old school. It's the old elementary school. And the gymnasium that belonged to the high school, in between the two buildings, there used to be the high school, and that was torn down. But George bought, he was from Pennsylvania, he was a rare books dealer, kind of like Spivey, if people remember Spivey's in Westport. And he was living in Pennsylvania, and Wes Jackson of the Land Institute in Salina owned the school and was doing work there and sold it online. And George bought the building online and moved to town with all of his wonderful rare books. And then he acquired goats. And I love his goats and I love his books. And another charming, charming thing about life that I put on Facebook the other day is one day I went out to get my mail, and along with the Emporia Gazette was a book by an author that George and I had been discussing at a party recently. He just stuck another book that I'd never read by Louise Erdrich in my mailbox.
Yeah, I saw that on Facebook. Yeah. He just drops things by sometimes, and that's how it works. Tom, thanks for the good call. Let's go to Suzanne from Stillwell. Suzanne, good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Suzanne.
Hey, Cindy, I want to know what name you gave that little barn cat, and I want to know what name you're going to give that red-bellied woodpecker you keep posting on Facebook.
You need names, Cindy. Come on.
Hi, Suzanne. That's just one way that I'm a city slicker, and I make the locals laugh. One of the first things they tell you is barn cats are good, and you want to keep them, but don't name them. Sometimes they don't last very long. But I have names for most of them, about half of them. And there was one little tawny kitten that I put up on Facebook because I just couldn't decide. And I've got a wonderful list. And I don't think I can be put on the spot this morning. But I took into consideration all the names that people have suggested so far this morning and last night on Facebook. And now I'm going to observe the little kitten and see which name seems to fit the best. And I hope that I never, never start naming the birds.
Oh, gosh. I think you have too many to do that.
I do. And that has been another wonderful, wonderful thing. And it's a new pastime. That's something I never would have thought I would like is bird watching. But I've seen so many birds there that I never saw in Kansas City. And so I built an enormous 3-foot-deep shelf off of the bay window in the dining room. It's just a wonderful, it's like bird television. That's what I do instead of watch television.
Is it an okay thing to say that people, if they haven't friended you, should friend you on Facebook?
Here they come, Cindy. Yeah, yeah.
Amazing things going on in Matt Field.
I accept all friends on Facebook. I love my Facebook friends.
Suzanne, thanks for the call.
You're so welcome. Bye-bye.
There are other things you do out there, too. Watching wild Mustangs on the open range.
Mentioned
stargazing, barn cats.
Oh, gosh. The wild Mustangs, you know, gosh, what a treat. I didn't even know about that existed. I discovered that when one of my favorite things to do is watch the sunset, which is cute because I have friends in Key West, and so it's a big deal in Key West.
Yes.
You watch the
it's
sunset,
huge in Florida.
Right?
It's so much fun. Yeah.
And it's also huge in Matfield Green. The train tracks are raised up on a trellis.
They're really up
to
high.
The west.
Yeah.
And so to see the full sunset, you have to drive underneath the train tracks. We have a underpass, and so you drive underneath the bridge, and then the whole open range is in front of you. So in less than 60 seconds in the car, you know, you're out in the middle of nowhere. And it was when I was driving out, you know, to look at the sunset like I often do, that one day there were these wild Mustangs there, and I don't know anything about animals again. And so I just thought they were odd looking horses. And I described them to someone. I said, they're great looking. They look like the Rolling Stones of horses. They have these long, shaggy manes and crazy tails. And then someone said, oh, those are the wild Mustangs.
Can you just get out and walk in the fields, or is there, you know, you need
you
permission?
Can
or
and
how,
you
how
can't.
Does that work? Yeah.
Private property is a really big deal out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it looks like you can because there's no one around for hundreds of miles. You can just pull your car over and start to walk. And some people do, but you're not supposed to. And so I've tried to be really careful about finding out who owns the land. And the people are very kind and generous if you introduce yourself and you say, would you mind if I walk on your land sometimes? Or can I take a blanket and a chair out and look at the sunset or look at the stars at night? And
they'll usually
I have
say,
several people that have said yes.
Yeah. Let's go to Frank from Lawrence. Frank, you're on Up to Date with Cindy Hodel. Good morning.
Great. Good morning. Cindy, I've heard a lot about Matfield Green over the years, and probably 15 years ago or so, I actually drove through Matfield Green, and it appeared to be nothing but a bunch of houses with no place to buy anything, and I was curious about that. And let me mention three other things. One of them is I had heard recently that there are a lot of trains going through Matfield Green, and that is apparently a place that train spotters go to count the trains. Would that disturb the people there? And the two other points, can you give us the derivation of the name Matfield Green and also the population of the town, and I'll take your comments off the air. Thanks.
I think I got most of those down here. A lot of things. The derivation of the name Matfield Green.
I know this one. It was named for a town in England. There's a town in England that's called Matfield Green that has apparently very little resemblance to this town.
But it sounded nice.
And it has a great big square in the middle. You know, a green is like a square, and we have nothing like that. And as to, it hasn't changed since the caller was through. There's still nothing to buy there except art. We have two art galleries in this town. There's not a gas station or a grocery store, but we have two art galleries.
Yeah.
And the third thing, the trains, is a wonderful, wonderful, charming thing that I forgot to mention before and a reason why I love it. And they go through constantly, and you can see them very well from my house because they're built up on this trestle. And so you have a wonderful view of the trains. And the greatest part is because we don't have a crossing, they don't blow their whistle. And that would be a disturbing thing if they were blowing a whistle. In Cottonwood Falls, there's a crossing and they blow the whistle.
Can you hear it?
Not from Matfield Green.
Matfield, yeah.
But I hear the rumble of the trains, but I love that sound.
Well, if folks want to read about the Flint Hills, a terrific book, and we've had him here on the show before, William Lee's Heat Moon's book, Prairie Earth, written about the, you know, that county, Chase County, and where you live, and it's just a wonderful read. I spent some time with it a few years ago, read the whole thing, just couldn't get away from it. So
he came down to Matfield Green a couple of months ago. He was a guest speaker. We have a lot of cultural programs at Pioneer Bluffs, a wonderful not-for-profit organization where the community took over an old ranch stand. So there's a pre-Civil War barn and ranch house, and Lee's Heat Moon came and gave a talk very recently.
He'll be back on our show next Tuesday, by the way, as well. Cindy, what a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for sharing your story. Thanks for coming in. I had so many more things I wanted to ask you, and we just didn't get there.
Steve, come back and visit again. Thank you so much. I would love to.